mobile low-bandwidth simulcast of this show available on Alpha Geek Radio. Using your mobile device web browser, go to mobile.alphageekradio.com to tune in now.
Hey, this is Tom Merritt from the Daily Tech News Show, and you're listening to Geek.io, where you put geek in and geek out.
Hey. Hey, you. If you're listening to this and don't want to hear expletives, you probably shouldn't listen to it. It's gonna get interesting.
Initiate update sequence. Installing new shows. Upgrading website. Installing new geek content. Upgrade complete. Initiate Geek.io 2.0 awesome sauce.
We're geeking out across the globe, so tuck in and hold on to your butts. It's time for the Geek.io show.
Geek.io. Put geek in and geek out.
Oh, if I unmute, welcome to Geek.io, your weekly dose of geeky goodness, episode 54, recorded Thursday the 27th of March, 2014. I'm your host, CJ Bodes.
And I'm Jared. I hate this March weather as a veto.
I'm Rachel Boat.
And I'm Jared Budlong.
Old Man Dale will be joining us again next week. Joining us this week, however, from Counterplay Game, joining to hang out with us and talk about his new Kickstarter about the duelist, Keith Lee.
Hey guys, thanks so much for having me.
Hello sir, how are you this evening?
Things are going awesome. The weather is great in San Francisco right now, so things are good.
I'm glad to hear that. The weather is not nice here. Got a lovely storm front blowing in.
Yes.
Fun times.
It's Alabama for you. What are you going to do?
Say yeehaw and hop in the back of our trucks and
hoot nanny.
Take our dogs and
go to a
nanny. At least you guys don't have a drought here in California, so it's actually kind of nice that it's raining the last few days. The cost of water has been kind of skyrocketing up here, so even taking a shower and flushing is expensive.
Jeez. I'm so glad we live next to a big body of water. We're right next
and
to
it
the
rains. We live next to a body of water and we still get hit with stupid because, yeah, you can't water your lawn on these days. And
yeah.
But you can save by showering in the Gulf. Oh, wait.
Yeah, no, you don't want to do that.
No.
Well, you definitely don't want to get into Mobile Bay.
I was just
for any reason.
I'll pass on that.
That was a personal experience. I was just joking.
I don't want them falling off.
I like tar balls. You guys don't like tar balls? We're still dealing with that. So,
no, it's fine.
We in Florida have to deal with other kinds of balls here.
Hey, America's wiener.
Yes. So, Keith, why don't you tell us a little bit about what the Duelist is all about?
Definitely. So, Duelist is a tactical turn-based strategy game, so it's focused on squad-based tactical combat. So for folks who are familiar with Final Fantasy Tactics, Fire Emblem, the original XCOM, those are the games that we really, really love. And so we wanted to combine that with a heavy focus on ranked competitive play. So really trying to focus on multiplayer first, having awesome ranking system, matchmaking, and making it super competitive. So I think that's something that is a underserved part of turn-based strategy games. I think most turn-based strategy games focus on single player. So we wanted to do something a little bit different. And, you know, it's created by a lot of veteran developers that have worked on Diablo 3. We have the lead artist from Rogue Legacy and Ratchet & Clank series.
Yes, it is beautiful. I heard about the Duelist for the first time when you did a segment with Barry Ricks for his thing that he does for the Final Score on the Frog Pants Network. And
yeah.
Since then, I've become kind of obsessed with it. I'm not going to lie.
Like, which
Rogue
part?
Rogue Legacy,
you like the artwork?
One of my favorite games of all time, and like strategy RPGs. That is, those are my games. So.
Me too. I grew up on all of those games, and I can't even tell you how many hours I played of Final Fantasy Tactics and trying to level up my samurai, my ninja. I'm trying to get all the best swords for them, and it's just crazy. So, a lot of fun.
In the horribleness that was getting Cloud and getting him leveled up to where he was decent and everything.
Yeah.
Like that. Yeah.
And did you guys play a lot of XCOM as well when it came out?
I did not. I have it on my Steam. It just kind of slipped beneath the radar.
Yeah. Yeah. Awesome. So, yeah, basically, it's a squad-based combat game, and we really wanted to focus on a fast-paced multiplayer 1v1 battle. So we wanted to keep the session times really, really short and keep it really exciting. And what's really neat is that our game will be on PC, Mac, and also on the web. So our whole idea, very similar to Desktop Dungeon, is having a little tab that's always open at work, and you can always play anytime. You don't need any plugins. It doesn't use Unity or Flash. I mean, you basically open up your Chrome or Firefox browser, and you can play a quick game, competitive game anywhere.
I like this plan.
And America's productivity dips down.
Well, my productivity certainly will be
50%.
IT professionals of the world, be prepared.
Yeah, there will be no querying when this game comes out.
Just go ahead and get your work done up front, so you'll be ready.
Exactly.
I was more speaking to the admins, but you know.
Yeah, but see, that doesn't fall for you IT guys, because as a teacher, if I don't have to install a plugin on my school computer, then...
Why is Rachel twitchy?
Oops!
Read Rachel. This chapter. Teacher has stuff to do.
Okay, yeah. We're doing quiet reading. Go.
Everyone go to the library.
Bye. Not that I would ever think of doing that, but...
Never.
Of course not. That would be a very irresponsible thing to do, and you would never do
it
that.
It would. That would be detrimental to my children's learning.
For those who are watching on Twitch, I'm actually I have it on a loop going so people can sit and watch it as well. Link to the YouTube as well as the Kickstarter will be in the show notes. Now, and you guys are shattered the goal. Like, you guys completely destroyed that.
Yeah,
and
we've been...
Congratulations on that.
Thank you so much. We were really, really pleasantly surprised, and it's been a very strong start, and we still have 13 days left, and basically we're doing all we can to hit the next set of stretch goals to get more factions, more content. We're really trying to get it onto other platforms. We would love to get it onto console as well as on mobile tablets. So there's a lot of stuff that we'd like to continue to do. And of course, like, as rewards, we've been really trying to make sure that our backers that believe in us are rewarded. And so we've been making a really cool Doge Shiba Inu as like one of the alternate skins. And we actually even made a little mic. Yeah, it's so Duelist. I mean, much intimidating. But basically we also created this thing called a Dogecoin Doge Starter. So basically people can pledge Dogecoin directly to our game. And I think that's pretty much a first. And we're actually going to be open sourcing that and sharing that with other developers so that they can also get Dogecoin pledges. And instead of using Dogecoin to get more ammo or some other stuff, they could put it into games. So those are some of the things that we're doing. And we actually just did an official crossover Rogue Legacy alternate skin that's available for all of our backers right now. So we're pretty excited to do these type of things.
Awesome. Yeah, I'm hoping. And now I do have a question for you. On the stretch goals, I know the one that I'm looking at mainly is the mobile version of that because, you know, why not have my productivity completely smashed? I know it's 230K, though. If that's not met in the next 13 days, is that still going to be a thing down the line, or is that kind of be just kind of a back burner kind of thing for right now?
Yeah, so if we don't hit that, we have some other strategies in terms of how we can kind of get that out there. So we might work with a publisher, might work with some other partners or investors so that we can round up a little bit more money to get the resources to do it on the tablet. I think that it's just the perfect game to play on the tablet. So we would love to get that going for sure.
Yeah, SRPGs work really well on the mobile platforms. So I would love to see it on there. And like I said, strictly not merely because of the fact that I really want to play this on the bus.
Yeah.
And But just so everyone on YouTube can see, I've got the Doge picture up here, so you can enjoy it in all its amazing glory.
Yes.
Thanks. He was a lot of fun, and those weapons on his on the Shiba's back is actually because our Songhai Bloodborne General, which is one of the units that you use, actually has that. So that's actually the alternate skin for him.
Nice.
Yep.
I love it.
That is fantastic. So what was kind of your, you know, inspiration for the game?
Inspiration, wow. You know, again, just growing up on tactics games, having enjoyed playing lots of CCGs, we love competitive games. So, you know, having worked on Diablo and playing Counter-Strike when we were back in college, a lot of those were inspirations. And we wanted to always build something really competitive. And, you know, actually one of the side things that to share with you guys, I've gotten a little bit older, and I can't compete in League of Legends in terms of fast speed and Twitch or a shooter. And so I still wanted to play competitively and invest my time into a game that's going to be supported for a long time. Yeah. And so I think this game was perfect because it's turn-based strategy. It's still live, so you have 90 seconds to make your decisions, but I don't have to make, you know, 400 actions per minute or anything like that. So I feel like I could still strategize. I could still have a little bit of time to play and still play competitively and, you know, try to rank up on ladders and tournaments and things like that. I think that's what really gets me excited, because I think those are the type of games that will have a lot of longevity. Those would be the type of games that are supported for a long time when it's competitive.
Awesome. Sorry.
Yeah, and you're actually scrolling through right now the miniatures that we've been developing. So that is the Songhai Bloodborne General. And, of course, we have also the Sharian Host Bloodborne General. So long-term, we'd love to be able to make 75mm miniatures for all of our characters. And, yeah, they're really super detailed. And
I'm impressed to get that amount of details.
Yeah, and it just looks
smaller than figure.
Looks really, really nice. So we're pretty pumped to get those out. And they're really accurate to the concept art, too.
Those look fantastic. I'm just going to throw that out there.
Really great art in this. Like, even if you're into that, even if you're not really into that, you know, like, kind of a advanced 16-bit kind of graphics, I'd say.
Mm-hmm.
I think that's a good way of describing it. The backgrounds and the scenery in this game, even going beyond the character models, just everything about this game just looks amazing.
Yeah, we spent a lot of time developing the world, thinking about the characters, how they all sort of complement each other. We really wanted to push the imagination. So if you look at some of the environments, the arenas, they don't look like anything else that's been out there, where there are these crazy cities that are in the sky, and they have these crazy color sort of patterns. And so we really wanted to just push the imagination, get people excited about this world, because we want to develop a world of Duelist long term. And we actually spent a lot of time thinking about the story and why they're actually why they're actually fighting in the first place, and why they're having these yearly tournaments, and why they're actually going to the monolith, which is in the center. So there's a lot of stuff there. We'd love to, of course, get more resources so that we can write more short story vignettes and we can expand our IP so that we can have a story mode and a campaign. I think it's really, really rich.
Yeah, I was actually going to ask if you could share a little bit of the story with us.
Okay, so I'll give you a couple of hints, but basically this is actually set in the far future. And the premise is, I've always been inspired by how even on Earth, in our history, we've had so many different civilizations that have kind of layered on top of each other, from the Greek to the Roman to the Dark Ages to the Renaissance and Enlightenment and things like that. And a lot of the history actually disappears. So, for example, if you look at hieroglyphics in Egyptian civilization, we know what it means today, but it's still lost in a lot of ways, or it's the stuff that happened on Easter Island and things like that. So if you actually look at all the concept art, for example, the Songhai Empire, if you look at every single character, if you look really, really carefully, there's actually Chinese characters on all of them, and they actually represent the Chinese zodiac. So every single concept art or creature is based off of an animal. And actually, these ruins, to them, are viewed as ruins, but to us, they're Chinese characters, because it's so far in the future, they just view it as like something that's, to them, has some level of meaning, but they don't know why. So this is really, really far in the future. And in terms of the story, yeah, I have to give a couple of hints later. We're actually going to be writing a short story vignette on our website to kind of hint at why people are fighting and what the tournament is all about. So I have to do that pretty soon.
Yeah.
Well, so for example, right now, the image that you're on, that you're scrolling on, if you kind of go to that Bloodborne general, that's the tiger. So you'll notice that there's stripes. If you look at it even more carefully, he even has a necklace that's a feline sort of jaw. And then also his face is feline. And so actually he's a quadruple welder. So he's got four different swords. And he's like kind of like a Bruce Lee plus the ability to be able to pounce really fast. He's aggressive. But
so
he's not
like
super big.
A Thundercat?
Oh yeah, that's a really perfect that's a perfect reference. Yeah,
I love this art. The art is fantastic.
Yeah, I can't get enough of looking at this. It is with this, and I know it says it on Kickstarter, but with this going, you know, with this funding already, when are the backers looking to get their copy of this, and when is this looking to go live?
So we're planning to do a closed beta October of this year, 2014, and we're going to do very, very rigorous sort of testing and balancing and sort of load for our multiplayer servers and stuff like that. So if we're able to do a good job there, we would love to be able to launch it in December of this year, 2014.
Wow.
And we'd love to get it. Of course, right now we're getting it out on PC, Mac, Linux, web browser. And hopefully we can try to get it onto the other platforms. If not, for this Kickstarter, I think we'll definitely still continue to do that, even if after we launch our first set of platforms.
Nice. Any other questions you guys happen to have for him?
Not off the top of my head. Actually, you know what? No, looking at the Kickstarter page, I take that back. I had a quick question. I don't know if you have a short answer to these, but I noticed that in layering for the tiers, PS4 is pretty low on the list compared to mobile and Xbox. Is that a just easier to code for? Like you already have somebody who knows that platform and can easily do that, or is that a
exactly?
Okay.
Yeah. So actually, one of the things with PS4 is that Sony has been just really, really friendly with indie game devs, and they've been incredibly supportive. So we had a chance to chat with them and. It helped us to figure out our scoping and the costs for how much it would take for us to do it. And so we felt like it was a reasonable thing that we can really kind of hit. And I think they would be very supportive. That's why we did it. The mobile tablet stuff, ironically, is actually super complex because there's multiple platforms on Android. There's a lot of things that you have to change in terms of a touch interface. And so that's a little bit why the money and the resources for doing stuff on mobile takes a lot of time.
No, I understand. Well, I was just curious about the wide gap between PS4 and then the Android and Xbox differences. I figured that's what it was. I was just curious.
Yeah, you know, actually, Xbox is also something that we really want to pursue. The thing is that we just kind of had to make a choice, and we really spent some time talking with Sony, and we felt like that could be a good first initial way for us to get more traction, and they've been really friendly with indies for sure.
Awesome. It's awesome. It looks like you're trying to translate into multiple language at one of the next barriers. That's really
yeah.
Cool. That's a high priority. That's really neat. Obviously it directly influences the impact of the scope of the game. So that
yeah, it's really beneficial for us. I mean, it's a kind of like low hanging fruit, but being able to translate into Chinese is massive because you look at all the PC cafes and just the penetration of PC in China is just massive. So we really want to make sure we can get that localized for sure.
Yeah, so I've looked at a couple of games and never noticed. I mean, maybe I didn't notice it, but I've never really seen language translation as a high priority. And I just It's nice to see that. I don't speak anything but English, but it's, I mean, I like it when people recognize the fact that there is a whole other part of the world that isn't the United States of America. So that's...
Yeah, and actually what's really interesting, too, is that Japanese and also Europeans just love these type of games. You know, they're like into the German board games. They love like strategy games. So we would really be kind of doing ourselves a disservice not being able to make sure that they can enjoy the game in the best possible way.
I mean, you're cutting off a whole lot of people if they can't read your game in order to play it. So
yeah.
That's awesome.
Exactly. And in a multi, in a world like what you're trying to build with a completely, you know, online kind of thing, you know, it's definitely important to have those have those regions out there. With say, you know, with are all of these are going to be cross platform, right?
Yes. Okay. Yes. You'll be able to hop onto a tab at work on your browser and then be able to hop back onto your PC and play it off of your Steam. So that's really, that's the premise, and we wanted to make sure that worked that way. A great example is Desktop Dungeon. So that game allows you to play pretty much anywhere with the same game.
Nice. Is there a single-player mode in this as well, or is it all online multiplayer?
So our focus, because we have such limited resources, we made a early decision to 100% make multiplayer incredibly awesome and to build a great community. That said, we do have a single player mode, and it's you can actually practice and challenge yourself against the computer AI. So that's a way for us to earn, for you to earn units and spells as you progress in the game. And it's similar to maybe the experience that you would see in Plants vs. Zombies or even in Hearthstone, where you can play single player and you can unlock. And our goal is to then introduce more and more units and spells so you don't get overwhelmed, but it allows you to kind of learn the game. And what's really nice is after you play some single player, you can actually get into practice casual mode. So you can now play not unranked games against live people, against like real people. But then what's nice there is that you don't have a 90-second constraint. You take as long as you want to make a decision to play the game. So it's very similar to play by email or play by mail. So there's less pressure, it's not ranked and things. And once you feel comfortable, boom, you can go into ranked draft, you can go into ranked normal, and now you can, like, you know, really play for real and, like, really focus on competitive tiers and stuff like that.
Wow. This is all sounding amazing to me. I know I keep saying that, but I'm really honestly serious about this.
Yeah, it's definitely going to be a lot of work, so we're going to be digging our heads down for the next 9 months, but I think people are going to really like it. And one of the big innovations that we saw in recent games like Hearthstone, which is a phenomenal product, is the fact that they actually make sure that you're playing one session against one person at a single time. Because I think the problem with a lot of turn-based strategy games like Play by Mail, or if you're playing a long game of Civ, is that halfway through the game, people might forget. They come back 5 days later, and you're playing 10 different games with 10 different people. Yeah. And you don't even remember where your units are, and then you kind of lose interest because you're not as engaged anymore. And the worst part is if that other party is about to lose, they might just default and never come back. And then it's super frustrating because you know that you're going to win, and now they're not going to finish the game. So I think that what we wanted to do was to make the session very, very short, less than 30 minutes, and allow you to play against one person for you to focus on the game. You'll close out the game. And the best part is when you're playing against other people, If your opponent is playing and it's their turn, you can actually watch them hover over what units that they're looking at on the board. So the idea is that even when you're not actively moving your units, you can see what they're doing. So if they're hovering over some of your units, you might be like, wow, is he going to attack my units? Is that why he's looking at the stats of some of my guys in front of my general? Or maybe he's just totally messing around with you and he's going to do a completely different strategy. So I think that's the bluffing mechanic, and a lot of things like that are incorporated into our game to make sure that people are really engaged in it.
So I like the fact that they're going to be limited, because I nothing like this style of game, but I had, was it Words with Friends, and then probably Draw Something, and I had at any time probably 15 games going, 5 of which were with my wife, because we would both challenge each other after the game ended, and there wasn't there was no default. Like, oh, she already challenged you. Are you sure you want to? You sure you want to do that? And like, well, that would have been helpful because otherwise I would have like 5 or 6 games going at once, not really meaning to. But then it's kind of like, all right, well, what was I planning on doing? What did I actually send her last time? Like, it got really, really old really quick.
Yeah, and we of course still have those modes. So we do have that practice casual mode that you just mentioned. So you're going to have a list of games that you're playing against lots of people, but the primary ranked mode would be like live synchronous head to head.
Right.
Awesome. Anybody else have anything?
I can't think of anything else. I think I'm tapped out.
Yeah, that was my list of questions that I had already. Yeah. So.
All right.
Shall we move on?
Yeah, anything else you want to put out there or anything like that before?
Well, we have about 12, 13 more days, so we'd love for people to check it out. We have the Kickstarter exclusive Doge, Shiba, we got the Rogue Legacy stuff, and we just released and posted our core game rules. So for people who really want to dig in to understand the mechanics, because originally this game was a tabletop game that we built to play with friends on game nights. And so that way people can really know that it's a well thought out rule set. It's a game that we're really excited by. So definitely check out the Kickstarter and it's all there.
We'll have a link in our show notes to that as well. So
awesome.
So you don't have to try and search it out because it's spelled, Duelist is spelled D-U-E-L-Y-S-T.
So do you guys want to know why it's a Y?
I didn't even actually think about that until just now. I saw the squiggly and I was like, you know what? That's probably on purpose. I didn't even think about it until now.
So the Y was, of course, completely intentional. So it's yet to be revealed, but the Y itself is connected with our story. Since the capital, the monolith, takes the same form and shape. So if you look at the concept art, the actual floating monolith is a Y. And practically speaking, we wanted to keep the title of our game very short. So in contrast to the typical long game name, even longer subtitle formula that most games do, we wanted to keep it short, less than 10 letters. I think that's easier to remember and also captures the essence of the game because Duelist is really about the duels and the battles. So I think that was like perfect. And the best thing about having a Y instead of an I is that from a business perspective, there was like no search terms at all with the Y in there. So
SEO.
It's really easy.
Guess that URL's available.
Well, that's like the surprise for us in this day and age because we saw Duelist.com with the Y and we're like, oh my God, we have to get it. Because what are the chances of having a 7-letter word that's still available that actually still kind of means something.
Yeah.
And then, of course, the great thing, by having a Y, we also avoid trademarking issues. So it's very, very clear we don't have any issues with that. So it was just like an A-plus across the board. So we're pretty happy with it.
Yeah, because you don't want to end up fighting a Hasbro / Wizards of the Coast for the term Duelist.
Yeah, who wants to have candy in their thing anymore, right? Or Saga.
Exactly.
You know? So we're just going to have Duelist, and we don't have any problems with that for a while, for sure.
Yeah.
It's a shame, because I was looking forward to your next game, the Candy Duel.
The Candy Duel Saga.
Yeah.
Yes.
And it's also hard, because when you look at a lot of mobile games, they're so generic that even you're trying to search for it, you're like, a million other entries come up before you can even find the game. So, and the nice thing with ours is that with the Y, everything in search is just about our game. So
yeah, unlike when Facebook released their weird reader app for the newsfeed called Paper, like that.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Horrible plan.
Yeah.
Like horrible, horrible idea. So hard to find anywhere.
That's right. That's right.
We're all about some SEO. Go back and look at some of our show titles. No shame.
No, or don't.
Yeah, or, well, true. Depends on your, how easily you are offended sometimes.
For some of the show titles, you really need to have a sense of humor.
Yeah, and have heard the episode, because some of them just don't make sense without the show.
99% of them don't make sense.
And even then, they don't make sense.
Listen.
All right. So Keith, I want to thank you so much for joining us. I really appreciate you coming on. Congratulations again on being funded. I really hope you hit your next goal.
All the goals.
All of them, yes.
All of the goals. We want them all.
We've got 6,000 more to get that 100K for the bonus language, or for the next faction.
Yeah.
So, well, thank you. I think that one's in the bag.
Thank you for having me today. So appreciate it.
Not a problem. And we'll I'll definitely check back in with you around October or so, see how everything's going, and try to
let's do it.
Force my way into the beta.
Awesome. Absolutely. So
gotta get in there,
guys.
Thank you, sir.
Thank you, sir. You have a great night.
You too.
All right. Oh my God, I am so.
Somebody's excited.
I am so excited for that.
It's like
game.
It was made for CJ.
It is. Like, everything in there is, like, all geared towards me. If you listen to the things that I've played with in this show, like Rogue Legacy, roguelike, strategy RPGs, tactical RPGs, I'm like, oh my God, this is my game. If you put some kind of stealth mechanic in there or a card game, yeah.
CJ Mike
put a bluffing mechanic.
CJ Mike quit his job and moved to Korea. I'm just going to throw that out there.
Yes, exactly. I will be the first duelist professional player. Because, yeah.
The professional duelist.
Okay. Hey, CJ.
Yes.
When is the cutoff for the end of that thing that I have to find, the thing to replace the thing that's not coming out?
The draft that we do.
What?
Look for Rio 2, and I think it comes out on the whatever day Rio 2 comes out, that's the last week you can have anything concerned.
Oh, of course. Okay.
For those who are wondering, in the summer movie draft, Rachel's movie that none of us realized was actually a thing is not a thing.
Aww.
So
now I'm sitting here going, what the fuck am I going to put it to? Because I don't know.
How about Captain America? Oh, no, that's CJ.
Captain America.
So why don't we go ahead and move into what we're playing with, and we can have a geek out segment after the break.
Gadgets, games, and gizmos.
Pew, 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 pew. Games and gizmos, where we talk about the stuff that we have been playing with in the last week. I'm going to really quick start. Jared and I are talking, we're going to be talking about what he's going to be talking about here when we get to his. I needed a break from today so bad. My boss is like, hey, here's some stuff for this other company that we're going to be working with. Here's some Excel sheets that I need you to manipulate and work with and make sure everything is in the right place. And I look, and there's a little bit over 35,000 rows.
Yeah.
And I did not get done with them at 6 by the time I was done, and I was ready to probably hang myself. So, yeah, that was fun. It was horrible, horrible, horrifying experience, and I'm still not done yet, so yay. Other than, I haven't been up to a whole lot that's new. Still playing the games that I've been playing, Project X Zone and Shin Megami Tensei. And so over the last couple of weeks, you've realized that Rachel and I get really mad sometimes halfway through the show because, you know, it takes us approximately 15 minutes to connect to our Wi-Fi. You'll say to yourself, that ain't normal. And we'll agree
especially
with you.
When Rachel is on the fucking wired line and it's not, it's literally, my router was here, literally, right there. Right there. I could turn my camera if I really felt like it. And my wire's there. And it goes from there to there. There's like 2 feet?
Yeah.
Why, when I open my laptop, does it take me 15 minutes to go, oh, well,
assholes. So we ditched Time Warner Cable for Verizon.
No, Bright House. Bright House, not so bright. Bright House hooked up through the Nology wiring.
Yeah.
Rather than running the wiring that they're supposed to.
The what's the what?
The yeah, the who's so what?
They use their competitor's wiring into the house.
Yeah. Oh, okay. Gotcha.
Oh, yeah, they didn't rewire everything. I gotcha.
That's
actually very common practice.
Yeah.
It happens lots.
But, you know, the Fios guy, he was amazing when he came out. He was out here for almost an hour making sure that everything worked. We did have some issues with activating our box. He drove out to his service station, came back with two other boxes, made sure everything was working, walked through everything that was going on with it, you know, made sure all of them were working, made sure all boxes were working, made sure, you know, the kids requested a channel to be put on their TV, he put it on there, showed them, you know, how to work the remote, which we promptly took from them because they are 3 and 4.
But it's the fact that he took the time with them, and he was like super awesome. Cool about it.
Yeah, he answered all of our questions, made sure everything was, you know, it was such a breath of fresh air. And even though technically, like on paper, we were getting 60 down and 15 up with Bright House, we're getting 50-25 here, but yet for some reason I am 10 down higher on Wi-Fi than I was with Bright House. And it connects instantly. So, you know, yeah.
I'm going to say that's because Bright House sucks ass.
Yes.
Just putting that out there.
I don't know what you're talking about.
So speaking
well, there
of
goes that sponsorship this. Deal. Oh.
Yeah, oh, no. We don't want Bright House anyway. Piss on them.
Speaking of sucking.
is there a button? What was that?
Do I have a button I'm supposed to be pressing?
No.
Oh, okay. I'm so confused. Awkward pause.
Buffy updates.
Oh, that's so... I'm calling that cheesy. I'm calling that cheesy.
That was like a Budlong joke. Did CJ just pull a Budlong?
He did, and I'm calling it cheesy.
Is the sound not going through like it's supposed to?
No.
Nope.
The fact that I'm playing the Buffy theme.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, no.
It
was dead silence. You were like, and speaking of sucking.
Aw, it ruined my joke.
Here you go.
That's way too good.
I finished season 2, and it definitely got better. Hey, what about the concept? You give a television show a budget, and then stuff starts getting better.
Who knew? Who knew, right?
Wait a minute. Wait till so season 3. You're saying you throw money at any problem and it fixes it. Is that what you're saying?
Yes, especially in television. But there were still some really bad parts. That comes from being a teenager show in the 90s.
And, you know, they're still doing the 26 episodes a season thing where they have to fill in where they can.
22 episodes a season.
No, whatever.
Yeah. And yeah, there was a lot of filler. Like, there were a couple of them, like, I can't stand to watch this because it's not progressing the plot at all. Stupid monster of the week thing. And then I watched the one where she goes to the hospital randomly because this flu that suddenly happens. And the most horrifying monster I've ever seen ever in creation comes onto television, and I couldn't watch it. This monster, he's supposed to be Death. But these kids describe him as Death, but they don't describe what he does. But like, he'll pin somebody, and then his eyes will literally fly open, and these tentacles will fly out of his eyes.
Oh, like, that God. Monster.
This is horrifying.
I do not remember this. Of course, I wasn't a huge Buffy fan, so I watched more Angel than Buffy.
And I do, I mean, yes, I know, like I said, I've seen pretty much all of season 7 of Buffy. I know what happens, but, you know, bravo the writing team, Joss Whedon, for pulling the finale of season 2 and making it actually, you know, heart-wrenching while remaining his sarcastic cheese.
Sarcastic cheese.
Yeah,
I don't know what you're talking about.
Yeah, none of Joss Whedon's writing is sarcastic or cheesy. Not at all. It's good to know, though, that Joss Whedon keeps his sarcastic cheesiness when he goes into multi-million-dollar things like the Avengers as well. So, you know, that's always nice to know.
That's why we love him.
Yes. You get Joss Whedon no matter how much money you throw at him, which is great. But yeah, I'm actually interested in moving into season 3, and it's definitely a lot better than season 1, which again, season 1, if you're going to watch Buffy, if you never watched it before, watch the 2 premiere episodes, find the episode of the pack, watch that one, and then watch the 2 finale episodes. That's all you need to watch. Don't watch any of the rest of that.
That sounds like my advice to a lot of people who can't get through Eccleston on Doctor Who.
Well, yeah, that was Rachel's trip through Eccleston on Doctor Who.
Although you can't, you have to get, yeah, you have to get, you have to catch the Empty Child with where Harkness first comes in.
Empty Child and Doctor and the Doctor dances.
Yeah, the two-parter, right?
Watch the first 2 episodes, and then you can just skip ahead to the Empty Child.
Yep.
And skip, skip, skip. Great. The rest of it, like after Captain Jack's involved in that, it's great. No problem.
I think all of it's fantastic, but that's evidently that's just me. So
I don't know about that. JD seems to like all of it.
He's a freak when it comes
to
that.
And I have to actually watch it sometime to weigh in my opinion.
Yeah, you should.
Oh, you've never watched Eccleston either?
He hasn't watched any of it.
I've never seen any Doctor Who.
What?
Don't you know this? You know this.
You know this.
I've admitted this many times.
Okay, wait. You gave me shit about Firefly, and you haven't watched a single episode of a 50-year-old series?
There are 13 episodes of Firefly. Okay, how many episodes of Doctor Who are there?
There are 13 episodes in a season of Doctor Who.
Well, no, I think the point, as Vito is trying to make, is that there's only 13 episodes, so you can very easily get caught up on Firefly. The point CJ is making, though, is that there are 50 years that you could have at least caught an episode.
I did catch the one episode we watched for Rant Review.
Yeah.
That doesn't count.
Angels take Manhattan.
You slapped a Dragon Con.
Okay. I'm going to put this out there.
I do intend to watch it. I just haven't gotten there yet. Trying to finish Buffy and Angel and other stuff first.
If you can watch Buffy and Angel and not watch at least a couple episodes of Doctor Who, CJ has gotten me hooked, and I will say, up until Captain Jack came in, I was like, get this fucker off my TV. I don't like him. He's a pretentious prick. I don't like him.
Well, at least now you know why.
Look. Yeah, the reason I haven't started Doctor Who.
The reason why he was a pretentious dick.
The reason I haven't started Doctor Who is because I know I will like it.
And
I don't have time for it right now.
You have it. It's on Netflix.
Exactly. It's there for whenever I'm ready. Anytime I'm ready, it's there.
Unless they lose the rights somehow, and then it's gone.
You caught up before September. Have a choice in this. You don't have a choice. What episode did we watch for
Angels Take Manhattan?
Angels Take Manhattan.
Oh, right. Oh, yeah.
With the pawns dying.
Yeah.
What a great way to introduce somebody to the show, by the way.
Like, I don't know why everybody's so sad. I mean, it seemed pretty sad.
You will know one day.
I'm not very invested in these characters, so.
No. One day.
I didn't cry.
Episode I think Rachel watched of Doctor Who was the Angels Take Manhattan, and I'm crying, and she's like, what?
I understood that the pawns were a very intricate part of it, and I had seen a couple other episodes. I never actually sat and watched it. I sat and listened to it from, like, the other room. But I never got invested in the characters, and I was like, oh, they can't die. No, that's not okay. But CJ was bawling, so there's a difference.
Yeah, I wasn't bawling. I was certainly crying. I'm not afraid to admit that. I was not bawling.
No. Admit it like a man, CJ. Admit it like a man.
I ain't afraid to admit it.
It's okay.
There's nothing wrong with that.
No. Other than that, like I'm gonna keep pounding through Buffy.
Whoa.
And Rachel, what have you been doing?
You really want to know?
Because I don't know. Because work sucks.
I have, between this week and next week, to write 2 lesson plans that I have to actually present. I have a presentation demonstration off of another lesson plan. I have to do 1, 2, 3, 4 synthesis papers, a case study, a second case study, a behavior practicum journal, write a behavior intervention plan. Yeah, I'm not going to be sleeping for about a week. I have not picked up a game. Oh, no, I take that back. Where's my computer, my cell phone? I have been playing Farm Hero Saga and Flappy Bird.
Still have Flappy Bird? People still play that? Is that still a thing?
If you have it pre-installed or installed on your phone already, obviously can't go get it right now.
I'm just saying. I don't hear anybody talking about it anymore.
Look, I has to Flappy Bird. I has to Flappy Bird. You're jealous.
I never played.
Not really.
And I'm not sure I care.
I don't care. I don't care either. I don't care at all.
I don't care. Nobody cares. Nobody cares.
Who cares? Nobody cares. Who cares?
Well, that burning image is fun. It's stress relief.
Some people call it that. Some people call it wanting to break their phones.
See, I'm not violent.
This makes you want to cut people.
Yes,
something about it sounds very porny.
Exactly. Well
so,
said, me.
I need revenge. My fish going into my mouth.
Whoa. Speaking of very porny.
What just happened?
What if it was chewing was in my mouth? Because that's just rude.
I will be the sexiest
I'm going to vent
thing.
Because...
I will be the sexiest fucking thing on this show.
I'm sorry.
What was that?
That was you while you were sick.
Cold voice.
Yeah, with your
cold voice, CJ.
Oh, that was so good.
Wow.
I love that you didn't recognize your own voice. You're like, what? Who was that?
Who is that sexy beast?
How
we need him on the show.
I couldn't even recognize it. I thought it was JD for a second.
Oh, that's funny.
Oh, dear.
That's, Wait, simmer down.
Oh, things have just gotten complicated.
Uh-oh.
It really did.
Update your Facebook status.
It's always complicated.
Oh, man.
So, as we all know, Rachel's in the College of Education, which is fine. But, you know, if you're going to be a teacher, there's certain, you know, practices that you should probably follow through on and, you know, common courtesy, like take a shower and don't smell like ass cheese.
Well, wow. I didn't. That is not what I was expecting out of that sentence. I don't even know why. But...
There is a student in my class, and heaven help him, he's got no sense of humor. Which, of course, considering we have decided that the majority of the College of Education class is all alcoholics, because we're all like, I need a drink.
You have to be to deal with those kids.
I'm actually going to pull up one of my classmates, I love her to death, posted her to-do list, which mine is extremely similar to this. I'm going to blow this up so we can actually see the to-do list and not necessarily who it's by, because I don't want to ruin her little privacy. And this is our current to-do list. Like, this is what I'm doing for the next 3 weeks. Yeah.
That's a lot of lists.
And I actually have one more class than her. I have 6 classes. She only has 5. Because she's in elementary education, and I'm in exceptional student education. So, that being said, this other kid is also in exceptional student education, a.k.a. everywhere outside of Florida, you're going to be looking at special education, not ESE. So you're a special ed teacher, ESE teacher, take your pick. And you walk into a room and you have like 4 people go, like they want a harf all over you. You probably want to take a shower more than once a week.
Wow.
Like this kid smells like ass cheese.
Pretty much all that's on my Wii these days.
That was completely on accident, but kind of funny.
Ass cheese is on your way. Congratulations.
I was actually trying to organize my soundboard and accidentally clicked that, and it kind of worked.
Sure, that was on accident.
Oh,
so,
man.
Long story short, if you're going to work with kids or the general public, or you're going to leave your house, okay, I'm seriously going to do this because I am just that kind of person. And it's sitting next to me, in theory, if I can remember where the hell it is. Oh, we'll just do this. People, here. This is what this dude needs. I want to send him a full box of this.
No, it's mine. Don't give me that.
No, he needs something that smells better. And at this point, I'd rather have him bathe in a whorehouse than smell like what he smells like.
Whoa. I don't know. I hear whorehouses have pretty nice showers.
That's fine.
Okay.
But I'd rather have him smell like
he's got a
problem.
At least I would think they'd have to.
Whatever he smells like.
Know.
Fair enough.
And my rant is done because that's the kind of day I've had.
Well, all right then.
And on that note, hi Bloodlong, how's your week been?
Hey, I've been doing good. I have been playing some old school gaming, and I can't, and I'm not going to mention what, because I don't want it to ruin the fun of the next How It Stacks.
But it's not putting you to sleep?
No,
is it
is not.
Is it Bloodlong playing Mega Man again, because that's still one of my favorite things of the time.
No.
Oh.
It's not. It is same era, roughly. but it's been good. It's been good. It's actually
Kid Icarus. I want to hear Budlong Curse. Kid Icarus.
Kid Icarus. I don't think I've ever played Kid Icarus.
Oh, dude.
What console was that on?
Yes.
Okay. So I have access to a plethora of games from JD. So I'll see if that's available, and if I get some free time, I'll try to play. Anyway,
you have to record it. There will be cursing.
We'll
after
see.
You get killed by that eggplant for the 15th time.
Yeah. I pulled up a walkthrough because I don't know how
really?
We played these games as kids. I was trying to get as far as I can before the show, and I don't know how we played these games as kids. Like some of these.
It's like Twitch plays Pokemon.
Well, like I got to a certain point where I was like, all right, I don't know where to go next, and nothing has told me what I need to do next. I had to go pull up the walkthrough because I was like, I don't know where I should be going. So I'll save the rest of that for the show. Tune into how it stacks. Hopefully later this week. We're supposed to release it next on Tuesday. So
I do like how Budlong is no longer telling me what the next show is, and so I won't be tempted to try and come on and completely destroy everything again.
It's not that. This one is a yeah. This one's just it. We're I don't want to ruin it. It's going to be a fun episode. You guys just need to tune in. It's going to be fun.
It's a surprise.
It's hey, a CJ. Super secret surprise.
Free chat.
A search surprise.
Rachel, you forgot something, so jump in.
Yes. I actually did something this week. CJ, what did I do this week?
He's got a mouthful of food.
Give me a brownie.
I bought you a brownie. No, what did I buy for me this week? Momentous occasion. A what?
A brownie.
Just
my
go.
Mind is fixated right now.
Just go ahead.
The brownie is really good.
DJ, you make me sad.
Him talking to the mic with a mouthful of brownie is making me
sad. About the BS thing?
LB.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. BFB thing.
What did I buy?
A very skimpy piece of clothing.
Uh-oh.
Actually, it's not as skimpy as he makes it sound. I bought a bathing suit for the first time in years.
Congrats.
Whoa.
Congrats.
Hold on now.
And now I'm going to get emails from Daryl asking for pictures.
There are pictures. There are.
Whoa.
Hey, no.
I'm going to get messages from Daryl asking for those pictures.
Hi, Daryl. You can email me. You're more likely to get them from me than my husband.
No, probably not.
I'm not sure which one's more weird at this point.
Oh, there are some things you don't want to know about the conversations that myself and Daryl Shaler have.
Fair enough. I'll let you guys have those. You share the ones that you think I can handle.
Yeah.
He shared some with me. I don't think I can handle some of them.
Oh, goodness. Yeah.
But yes, I have a bathing suit for the first time in probably my entire married life.
Seriously, though, congrats. That's awesome.
That's awesome. That's amazing. Amazing!
And it makes me happy. Like, I didn't think I'd ever be happy about owning a bathing suit. I'm okay with this, though. Okay, I'm done. I'm really done this time, I think.
You sure? All right, I think Jared maybe has something to say about your bathing suit.
Well, at least you didn't play the Super Mario.
No. Okay, so How It Sucks, old school gaming. What else have I been doing? I don't think I have anything else. This week's been a decently busy week for me, thankfully. I haven't had a whole lot of free time, so doing that, that's about it for me. So I'll pass it on to the only person that's left, Azevedo.
Last again.
First, that's okay. last, first. It's fine.
Because I've got some cool stuff to show you. There's a link in the doc there that you can click on.
Clicking.
And you'll see in our little test feed. Wait, where'd it go? Oh, there it is. This first entry here. And during the Geek.io meeting last night, you may have noticed I was a little distant.
Because
I was working on this.
We had a meeting last night. So, yeah.
I was working on this. Finishing it up. I already met most of it. But basically, this entry that you see at the top of the test feed is the most current video from our YouTube feed pulled through the YouTube API and automatically inserted into Squarespace.
What? Holy shenanigans.
So,
this is madness.
So I finally made that happen.
Nice.
Because, you know, I started it, and then my PC died. Bud Long was there for that.
Oops.
And then I started back up again, and they had deprecated version 2 and switched to version 3. And started all over again.
Sad day. They were like, hey, by the way, if you've been working on this for like 3 or 4 weeks, sucks for you. Start
peace
over.
Peace out. I mean, version 2 still works, but I figured as long as I'm doing this, I might as well do the current version.
Yeah, yeah.
So, YouTube API. I know some stuff about that.
Yay.
It's kind of a pain in the butt, but it works. And yay. I liked version 2 better, but this one, yeah. Whatever. It's cool.
Old man cool. Azevedo. Back in my day, we had version 2.0.
Back in 8 and version 2.0, you could search by the channel name. Now you have to have the channel ID. Which, guess what, isn't public anywhere.
Yay.
You have to make an API call to get the channel ID
can
before you can make another API call.
If you own the channel, can you get that somehow?
Yeah, it's in the settings somewhere.
Oh. We could have helped you out with that.
I know, but I know that CJ wanted to do this for other people who we may or may not have full access to their YouTube backend, so it's nice to know that I can.
Did?
Okay.
Wait, why are we having access to people's backends? I thought that was...
I thought we got rid of that on the network.
CJ Dale. Touched the butt. CJ touched the butt.
I touched the butt.
He did touch the butt.
Oh, man.
And I
no, there was a person who's joining our network who you wanted all of this person's YouTube videos
oh,
to be
nice.
Automatically inserted. This whole project was your idea, CJ. I know it took me 3 months to do it.
You do remember this is CJ.
Is
doesn't remember
hilarious.
From day to day.
That is so good.
We could probably get this person's channel ID if we needed to, but I can get it through the API.
Hey, person, I need your channel ID. Here's where it is. And she'll
if
be
not,
like,
I can make a special API call and get it. It's not a big deal.
Oh, that's funny.
But, yeah. Fun times. It all works now. It's very exciting.
Yay.
And I watched the first episode of Cosmos.
Yay, what'd you think?
I liked it a lot. Especially like the universe address thing and the cosmic calendar. That was good stuff. I enjoyed all of that.
Did you think the animation was kind of ridiculous too?
I thought it was fine.
Yeah.
If people were offended by that for some reason.
I just thought it was ridiculous.
I don't know. It had its point in its place. You know, just that people were thinking about the universe as an infinite thing way back in the day. But I don't know. If you're a Christian and were offended by that animation, then you clearly don't have a problem with science. You have a problem with history.
Yeah.
And you need to listen to that story a little more closely because, yeah.
Yeah,
the guy that they burnt at the stake was a Christian just because he believed that God was more infinite than what the current Catholic Church believed. But beyond that. It was really good. I love the visuals. Like, they did an amazing job with the way that looks. It is just gorgeous. Gorgeous stuff. And I haven't watched the second episode yet. I hope to this weekend.
Cool. Are you watching on the Hulu?
On the Hulu. That's right. I watched it on the Hulu. But yay science, yay space.
Yay.
And it's okay. It's okay, people.
It is. No need to breathe hard. Just relax.
We'll be okay.
Go with the flow of space.
It's okay.
Be okay, I promise.
You can believe all the different things. It's
just
okay.
Just yeah. Calm down.
I ran into this issue actually at work. My boss and I were talking about this. And we have a we'll call them a bad Christian.
okay.
Overheard us. And,
it's okay. There's plenty of those around.
I watched that and it's insulting. And blah, 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 blah. I'm like, no, it's not insulting to just Christianity. It's insulting because people are kind of like you and refuse to have any kind of open mind about anything.
Or just don't like what happened in the past.
Yeah, that whole thing passed. That whole thing happened in the past.
Yeah.
It happened.
Yeah, we have a cool pope now. He's not going to do these kind of things. Evil pope is
gone. No. Evil popes is gone. There were a few evil popes. It happened. Church was not always good.
They all still kind of look like Palpatine, but it's fine.
Yeah, they show title. I can't argue that.
I mean, it just looks. I mean, obviously, for everything we've seen, new pope. I don't know his name, Francis. He's got some great. This almost sounds like a politician, but he's got some great policy, like thoughts. I don't know how else to phrase that.
Oh yeah,
policy, and he actually cares about
people in general.
Yeah. You know,
he seems to care about people, which is a good place to start.
Go figure.
Yeah,
he enjoys the gays and he enjoys the poor people.
I don't know if I would phrase it that way, but I see where you're going. I can see what you mean. I think we should move on.
That sounds good.
Yeah.
So my last and final topic is something me and CJ share in common, I guess. So
yes.
Who wants to start? Who wants to take the mighty
battle
hammer
to the end
and swing it around?
Well, Jez and I, obviously not together, watched Thor 2 because it's a thing.
No, we totally watched it together. CJ came over. We cuddled on the couch. It was fun.
Yes. It was adorable.
We stared at Chris Hemsworth's amazing physique.
Oh, and speaking of which, this is my story. I wanted to tell you guys Chris Hemsworth's amazing physique. He's a good-looking man. But I'm watching the movie with the kids because it's actually not really – it's not bloody, not anything really – anything bad. It's very comic booky. Nobody but the bad guys die. You know, it's nothing really bad. So I'm watching with the kids, and Kia looks at me and goes, "Daddy, why is Thor naked?" I go, "Dear, that's what's called fan service." Okay, Daddy, why is Thor
naked? I remember being shirtless.
Well, no, she then looks at me and goes, "Okay, Daddy, why is fan service naked?"
Oh, that's my daughter.
That backfired.
I'll tell you when you're older.
That's not a conversation I'm comfortable having right now. Come back to me. Come back in about 10 years.
I keep forgetting that it's my daughter and she's adopted my sense of humor and my sarcastic tones.
Okay, let's recall that this is the same child when she was 6 weeks old. You were watching Watchmen when Rorschach goes on his bloody spree. She goes,
"Gee!" Yeah,
and then goes back to sleep. And they're clapping at 6 weeks old. I'm like, you were watching Watchmen with our six-week-old.
She
goes,
was sleeping.
I said, "You just said that she was squeeing and happy and laughing at the TV during Rorschach's murderous rampage."
Yes. And then she went back to sleep.
That's my kid.
This is my daughter, and I love her so much.
Kids.
What do you think of the Thor 2?
I really liked it a lot. I like the fact that they're making it more and more comic booky with each iteration.
Yeah,
they started out because they got to bring all the general audience in, but once they get them in and get them comfortable, they can throw in like dark elves and portals and gravity weirdness and comic book magic, and it was great.
Yeah,
it was
that's
so
what I'm
fun.
Looking forward to with Avengers 2. They had to do the same thing, and I'm waiting for Scarlet Witch, the comic book up that joint.
Which, how spoilery are we getting on this?
On Thor 2, if you don't want to be spoiled, come back after the break.
There we go. And Budlong, sorry, you're just going to be spoiled, I guess.
It's fine. It really doesn't bother me.
Okay, here's a general spoiler-filled thing. Thor hit thing with hammer. Fall down.
Wait, Thor you mean wins. Hulk smashed something? Hold on. Wait a minute. No.
Hulk wasn't there.
No, I'm joking about spoilers in general.
But yeah, Thor hit thing, thing fall down, Thor win, Thor get pretty girl.
It had a really good...
Thor went around naked. I'm okay with this.
Sure it was, but yes.
Yeah. It had a nice blend of action, fun, goodness, of story, it had great humor. Like, it was just really just spot on, just like, little quips here and there that would make you laugh, and then they'd get right
they
back into it.
They sprinkled that in there perfectly. Like, they
so good. Like, they used Tom Hiddleston to his maximum potential.
Oh, yeah.
Have you guys seen the videos of him at like cons and just doing random shenanigans?
Yeah.
It's great. There's like a 15-minute...
The world needs more Tom Hiddleston. And
like, he was just used perfectly in this movie. Every scene he was in, he just killed it.
Even his serious scenes. Like, after Spoiler dies, his serious scenes were like... Even then, it just shows how good he is. Because it literally... He literally goes from Loki, like, joking Loki... to a very serious, dark, you know, brooding, hurt person. And it's literally in, like, a seamless cut, same scene.
Yes. Like when he's, you know, projecting his normal self, and then...
Yeah. And then it all shatters, and then he looks like Gaudier.
Yeah, I have to say that that was kind of the most depressing part of that, because CJ points that out, and I'm just like, that's just not okay.
Yeah,
why'd you have to go there?
I'm looking at Facebook. Like,
now he's just a Loki that I used to know.
Yeah, exactly. And like, it was a big meme of this scene where Loki with long hair and looks brooding in a corner. And I'm like, wait, why is Gaudier in this? That wasn't in the video. He's only had one song.
And then it jumps over to Tom Hiddleston having a slumber party with some guy from MTV. Because that's actually a really funny video. They have a pillow fight, and it's pretty funny. Just going to throw that out there.
Great, like, he is so good.
Search for, on YouTube, just search Tom Hiddleston and montage or something along those lines. It's like, it's a 15-minute video, and it's good. It's good.
And did you watch the deleted scenes, CJ?
No, I did not.
Okay, well, the cameo where Thor and Loki are walking through the palace.
Yes.
Yeah.
Oh my god, yes.
There's a deleted scene where it has Tom Hiddleston in the Captain America outfit.
He talked
like,
about that.
Lines.
Oh
he,
yeah,
he talked about that in an interview,
I
and that was hilarious.
That was just in my version.
Well, it was like a different version of the scene, because like in the movie, it's actually Chris Evans, but Tom Hiddleston in the costume.
Oh,
yeah,
nice.
He talked about it in an interview.
It's so great.
It's good. I kind of want to see that now.
Like, I want to know if like they took his and then you know made Chris Evans match it, or
probably
that was just because man, it was great.
Oh, it was so good.
I'll try to find that interview to show you guys because he talked about it,
and you get to hear Tom Hiddleston do an American accent, which is so fun.
Or Chris Evans do kind of a Loki-ish accent.
It's good.
It is like this was so much better than the first Thor.
Yes,
like, I liked the first Thor, but I'm not raving about it. I really liked this movie.
This one was just so much fun and so good, and I really like at the
end.
And
it had Eugene Levy in it, which is great.
Where was Eugene Levy?
He was one of the Warriors Three. He was Chuck.
Oh, you mean Zachary Levi.
Zachary, yeah, sorry.
I was like, Eugene Levy? What?
Yeah, like, weird relationship.
That's funny.
That Eugene Levy guy from
those are two very
CJ,
different people.
Really? Did you just, like, completely amalgamate his character from Tangled?
Eugene
Fitzherbert. Yes. Is Blade... by Zachary Levi.
Yes. I just kind of
okay, so Zachary Levi...
did that horribly.
So Zachary Levi wasn't in the first one.
No.
Okay, I didn't think I remembered him being there. I was like, why wasn't this guy in there before?
The first three Warriors 3 were like three generic white guys. One was kind of Gimli-ish, one was tall and brooding, and one was skinny and martial artsy. And then two of those three apparently died, and one was replaced with an Asian super-kicking guy, and one was replaced by Chuck.
Nice. As it should be.
Yes, and then Uber Gimli was still there, though.
Yes, he was. He was still there. And that's okay.
Yes, because if he disappears, I think it's going to be a sad day.
So was, like, super strong chick who I can't decide if it's hot or not.
Oh, Jamie Alexander. She actually was on S.H.I.E.L.D. 2 weeks ago.
Yes.
And I haven't watched that episode yet, so
it's a good episode that like has.
They've
all
been
sorts of,
consistently
like,
good the last two or three I've watched. So,
Shield's
getting there.
Comic book, yeah. It suffered from early season issues.
It really
like really, really, really did.
All right, so my last 2 points on Thor, unless you want to drag it out anymore.
No.
I really liked at the end battle there how they actually brought the humans in and the humans actually did something.
Yes.
Like, that was really, really cool. Because usually, you know, they're just running around while the superpowered people...
Thor. I mean, Thor's a god.
Thor. So, yeah, you know, he's basically a god and can do whatever. So it was really... I really thought that was clever how they actually made the humans useful. And the
humans,
very...
What is this bad nips?
Yeah, and then the very end... Well, yeah, I guess very end spoiler thing did not surprise me at all. Like, because basically when Thor walked in, he was sitting... The way he was sitting gave it away.
So I'm just wondering what happened to what happened.
Yeah, where is Odin? What did he do with him?
Yeah, where did my Odin go? Where can he be? But they actually pull that plot point out into the Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. episode.
Sweet.
Like Lady Sif.
Now I really need to watch it.
The Allfather is acting odd, but he sent me to Midgard for this person. So they play off of it, which is, you know, amazing. So yeah. Anything else on
Good on Thor. It was great. Go see it if you haven't. Sorry if we spoiled everything for you, but it'll still be good, I promise.
Thor hit things, Thor make things fall down.
The Avengers 2 preparation thing in the credits. Should we talk about that? Was that Anicia? Was that Anicia Del Toro, whatever his name is?
Anicia Del Toro, yeah.
Yeah, that guy.
Yeah.
See, I don't know anything about The Collector. I'm not a comics book guy, so I don't know who that was.
He's a relatively minor Thanos plot, subplot kind of thing.
So they're just getting ready for Avengers 2 is what I'm gathering.
It's not a Thanos joint, though. That's the weird thing. Like, they are crossing these two universes, and I'm interested on seeing how they're going to collide in Avengers 3. Because Guardians of the Galaxy is going to be dealing with Thanos, and Avengers is dealing with a non-Hank Pym Ultron.
Hmm.
Which I am excited for both. If you guys have seen this trailer for Guardians of the Galaxy... It is fantastic.
Yes. Yes, it is. Like, I know nothing about that series, and I I was going to be excited about it. Then I watched the trailer, and it's like, okay, I'm in. I'm totally in.
And that is pretty much all
this
of
feels
the
good.
You need.
This
you,
feels good.
Need. Yes, exactly. All right, so let's go ahead and take a break, pay some bills, and pimp out some stuff on our station. And during the break, we are going to play Five Iron Frenzy's Rhubarb Pie on Cheeses of
Yeah!
And yes, I get the Jesus joke. And his friend Jesus! He's going to throw a buffer through a window again. Yay, random review, how we miss you.
His buddy Jesus.
Alright, guys. We will be right back. Stay tuned.
You've all probably heard about Audible.com before. It's the world's leading provider of audiobooks. Through Geek.io, you can actually get your first 3 months for 50% off. That's only $7.49 per month for the first 3 months. That'll save you over $22. Now, if you're not sure what Audible is, or you're not sure you're even going to like the service, feel free to try that Audible Listener Gold membership for free for 30 days. Remember, that includes one free book. After that 30-day trial is up, your membership will renew for the normal $14.95 per month, giving you access to one credit per month, as well as member benefits. What's that? You say you're already a member? Well, feel free to follow our link anyway, and you can give us a little kickback every time you buy an a la carte book. Check out all the details at www.geek-io.com/audible. And again, we want to thank Audible.com for their support of the Geek.io podcast network.
What's up, ladies and gentlemen? This is JD from How It Stacks here to talk to you about ProXPN. It is a private VPN, which basically means it is going to mask your IP address, protecting your data. So if you're out on the interwebs doing things you might not need to be doing, or if you're banking online overseas, it will help mask your data and keep it completely private. And you can do this for only $6.25 a month regularly, or you can use Geek20 for 20% off. So it's a pretty stellar deal, guys. And I'm just going to be honest, with all of the stuff that we've had going on, it's a good idea to invest in something like ProXPN.com. So I am JD, and I approve this message.
Have you ever purchased a pair of headphones only to find that they fall apart a few months later and you have to buy a new pair? Or end up finding a pair that you love so much, they sound great, they just don't match your style? Go check out Tweaked Audio. They've got 7 styles, with and without microphones, and 6 great colors. They also have wood, which is not a color. These headphones are designed to sound great for music and talk, and engineered for durability. Tweaked even believes in their products so much they've given us a lifetime guarantee. Head on over to geek-io.com/tweaked to check them out. And don't forget to use our code GEEK and get 33% off your order, plus free shipping.
Check out This Working Droid with Headphones Neil, bringing tips and tricks Monday through Friday on using technology a little bit better, be it things you know and stuff you don't. Subscribe at Geek.io today.
About some good home cooking, just like I haven't eaten in the longest time. Now I like potato chips, now please don't get me wrong, but I haven't tasted mama's rhubarb pie in so very long. Home rhubarb pie in the summer, rhubarb pie made by my mother. And a hole in the sweater beats a poke in the eye. If I had my choice, I'd leave this gas station store, and then I'd travel back in time, and I'd sit down and have some more rhubarb pie in the summer. Rhubarb pie made by my mother. Nothing better in the winter than rhubarb pie. In the Sunday paper of the politician, he's talking to the press. He looks like he's been eating lemons all his life. Well, I think mama's rhubarb pie could solve more problems overnight. Rhubarb pie in the summer, rhubarb pie made by sugar on top. Oh, it makes my mouth water. I'm coming home, mama.
Again, that is Five Iron Frenzy, Rhubarb Pie, off of their practically all B-sides album, Cheeses of Nazareth, sometimes just called Cheeses.
Practically?
Some of them, they're not B-sides. No, some of them are just rough recordings of existing songs.
That's true.
They're not
terrible
all
live recordings where Reese forgets all the words.
Yeah. Some of them are.
Oh, that Fistful of Sand.
Rough. All right.
I'm glad you played the Dennis version of that song, because the other one's sad and makes everyone cry.
Which one?
According to Reese.
Blasphemy!
Ugly Day.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Because Rhubarb Pie was Dennis's demo before Reese changed the lyrics to the the sad song.
Yeah.
Anyway. Where is CJ? I'm still singing songs.
All right, so I guess we'll just keep trucking along since he's not back. You can reach the show at twitter.com/geekioshow and facebook.com/geekioshow, as well as gplus.to/geekionetwork. That is much less convoluted. Our site, which has every show, notes, and more, is at geek-io.com, and you can also contact us via email at geek...
I messed it up.
It's been too long. At there it is. geek-io.com.
It's just like the old times.
The best part is I love how Budlong will just read the script no matter what I put in there.
Yeah. Yeah. And then still mess it up. So that's,
yeah, and still not get it right. That's okay. But we're still taking an anonymous survey of our listeners across the network. Find out what you like and dislike about all of our shows. So this helps us as a network to better understand you, what you want, give you the things that you want and take away the things that you don't. And we can learn more about you and how to, you know, give you the awesome content that you really want. So come take the survey. It's in the show notes of any show. We love you and thank you. Kiss, kiss.
And I do want to bring a couple things up, you know, a little bit of, if you get some kind of value, some kind of, you know, if we make you chuckle a little bit, you know, if we bring something, you know, that was not there before, or just touch, you know, touch something in your lives that actually, you know, means something to you, help us out a little bit, head over to patreon.com/geekio, patreon.com/geekio. Shows a little bit of, you know, love to all of the shows here on the network. It is a recurring payment that will come out monthly. You're free to donate anything that you want. You know, there are shows on the network that come out, you know, around once a day, like all 7 days of the week. So, you know, $1 a month to help us out here a little bit on the network, you know, that's a great deal. So, you know, whatever, if you get any kind of value whatsoever with this, kind of run on a value for value kind of thing. So, you know, if you find some kind of value in this, you know, shoot us a little bit of love. We greatly appreciate it. Thank you.
Always thank you.
Indeed. So, let's go ahead and move on into a quick...
People assume the time to mystery rises from the north and the north and the east. What I do is what I do isn't very nice.
Timey-wimey. Stop.
Now, geek out.
Oh, yeah, I missed that last week. All right.
Yeah, geek out.
So, this topic comes from a one Jared Azevedo.
It does. So I guess I need to introduce it. Is that what you're saying?
It's all you.
So guess what happened today, guys?
What's that?
There was a new trailer released to the interwebs for the Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles movie.
Wow.
By Michael Bay. But...
No. Produced by Michael Bay. Directed.
It's enough.
He's just throwing money at this.
It's got a Michael Bay feel from the trailer a little bit.
Yeah, I watched
it's
the trailer.
It's got a Michael Bay feel,
but...
No.
You guys weren't here for that part of the conversation. I'm not complaining. I actually enjoyed the Transformers movies as standalone movies.
Well,
I enjoyed the first one and the third one.
I want to put this out here that Kevin Eastman is writing this, and he's the one who wrote every other Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles movie. Well, the two that mattered.
I was going to say, and number two, because...
No, number two, and then the 2007 animated one.
Okay.
He did not write...
So, yes and no.
As long as he wasn't a part of two.
He wrote one and two, but did not write three.
All right. Well, as long as...
No, two was okay. Three was bad.
Yeah, three was... You missed the Geek-io watches with three.
Yeah. I've seen it.
It could have been worse.
I remember it being bad.
Maybe my expectations were just set really low, but I didn't hate three as much as I expected to do. it was bad. But I still had fun. So the trailer is here. We've all watched it, I assume. I've watched it twice now, I think.
Yes, I've watched it twice as well.
Looks good, man.
Now, a couple things to touch on in this one is, you know, people were like, oh my god, they said it was going to be aliens. No, that was an internet hoax, I think, or Michael Bay purposely spreading rumors to get people pissed off.
Probably
or
that.
Michael Bay just talking and people forgetting.
It might have been an original draft, but they dropped that with the, I'm guessing with the introduction, or with the guy who wrote the original movies coming in, because it's basically the same origin story. You know, they have the ooze, and on the ooze itself has the TGRI logo. If you quickly, if there's like 2 seconds of it, you can see the TG on there. So I'm going to assume it's the TGRI from the second movie. And it is April O'Neil's dad and guy who will become Shredder who make them, but they're both scientists.
And Daredevil was there, and oh.
Yeah.
What?
It has some interesting people in it. Megan Fox does not instantly, you know, disgust me with at least her facial acting.
We still want to murder her.
Which is surprising, considering every time she opened her eyes in Transformers, I wanted to gouge them out.
Oh, man.
Wow.
Harsh. Intense.
She has that kind of April O'Neil look to her. It could be the fact that she's just wearing the correct outfit.
And she has dark hair.
Yeah.
That's about it.
we've gone away from the 80s. Perm.
Yeah, well, yeah, you couldn't have that anymore.
Oh, you could. It would be all kinds of wrong. The chemicals still exist.
No. You can totally still have that. I'm sorry. I will always have a love for April O'Neil with the really bad bright yellow jumpsuit and the bad 80s perm.
She still has the bad yellow jacket.
Yes.
Not the jumpsuit, but...
No, I want the jumpsuit. I'm sorry. I want the retarded... jumpsuit that she had at one point.
The yellow jumpsuit and the soccer mom perm and
Yep. Here, wait. We'll do
Don't
this
you judge
because
her.
This is totally valid. April O'Neil images.
The writing in it actually, you know, they only have they have one line from a turtle. And it's Michelangelo, but
because Mikey's the shit.
It's a very Mikey thing for him to say.
I know.
It was good.
Like, I was expecting,
why,
maybe just because I've seen too many Christopher Nolan, like, adaptations of things. I was expecting something, like, dark and gritty and, like, the turtles to be all serious.
The look for it kind of conveys
that. It does
that,
have the look.
So.
Yeah, and the look kind of gave me that impression, too, but, whoa, okay.
Yeah. Wow. Okay, whoa. Then.
Hey, I picked the two people that we're talking about currently. It works.
There you go.
I do not remember that outfit. I mean, I remember it being yellow.
Seriously, you don't remember that? Oh, my God.
I don't remember the twins.
Here's a little more accurate one, I guess.
The bad yellow jumpsuit.
Yeah,
there we go.
Okay, then. Where were we? What were we talking about?
Derailed. Seriousness. Silly turtles. Michelangelo being funny in the trailer.
That
made me feel good. Okay, good.
Different, but like they don't look bad.
No. They just kind of gave him a more turtle-ish look, I guess.
Yeah. Well, yeah, exactly. They look like turtles, and they don't.
And
look
they're
like
huge. What's that about?
Well, they're
ginormous. They are mutants.
They're supposed to be larger than life. So, I'm positive. I'm tentatively, you know, kind of tepidly interested in this. They have guy from Catching Fire as Raphael. One of the three main vampires.
He was also Aquaman on Smallville.
Wow, Rachel.
Oh, yeah. One of the three main bad vampires from the second, from the last, Twilight movie is Michelangelo. William Fitcher is Shredder, which is just his voice, which I'm okay. See, I'm kind of okay with him not being Japanese stereotype man, but it kind of puts a weird point where Splinter's origin story is going to be, who Splinter's being played by a little person. So,
I don't know how I feel about that, honestly.
I didn't see that one.
Danny Woodburn is playing Splinter, and I guess they're going practical effects on Splinter. Basically, whenever you need a comedy white small person, you go to Danny Woodburn. Pete Plosik. Who's Pete Plosik? He's only done 4 things and nothing where he's an A episode of Parks and Rec, an episode of Shameless, a short for WWE, and somehow wound up being Leonardo. because Michael Bay is not directing this, I'm a
little...
Yeah,
that makes me feel better. I'm not going to lie.
And it is the original writers for the movies who's taking
them on. Well, according to the IMDb, they're using their characters, but it's Josh Applebaum and Andre Nimick who did the screenplay.
Josh Applebaum, that sounds familiar.
It does. I might click on him and
see
what else
he is. Oh, he's a J.J. Abrams writer.
Oh, he wrote Ghost Protocol, which is a fantastic movie.
So, yeah, he's all into the J.J. Abrams stuff. That's why that sounds familiar. And who's the other person? Andre Nimick. Cool name. Andre Nimick. He is also a J.J. Abrams
writer. Sounds familiar, but I don't think that's...
He's also a J.J. Abrams person writing.
Okay.
He also wrote Ghost Protocol, and they basically worked on everything together.
Okay. All right, well, that makes me feel pretty good.
It's all stuff, like Ghost Protocol and some Alias, and so it's actually a good team. I mean, if Michael Bay is literally just throwing money at it, I'm a little bit more okay with that. So,
I was okay before it was just him throwing money at it, when we thought he was actually going to be directing. Now, when the initial Alien thing happened, I was like, all right,
yeah,
really? Like, come on. No.
Now that that's not a thing. And
yeah, I mean...
Coming out on our anniversary this year, Rachel, we should watch this at Dragon Con, guys.
Wait, it's coming out while we're there?
It's coming out on August 8th. But it'll still be in theaters, most likely, when we get to Dragon Con.
I'm down with
this. So maybe that Thursday, we should... go do...
I think this is a good plan.
This is a thing. We may do this.
So, in my searching, since we're discussing this, CJ.
Yes.
Trivia. Who is the co-creator of TMNT?
Comic?
The street names at the very end of the first movie had to do with their names.
Oh, yeah, that's helpful.
Peter is his first name.
Peter Jackson.
No.
Weller. Oh, wait.
Laird. L-A-I-R-D.
Oh,
Peter Laird.
And Eastman.
Yeah.
Laird and Eastman.
Yeah.
Laird went on his personal blog and actually stated something that I actually have to agree with him on.
Okay.
It is in regard to actually Megan Fox being April O'Neil. And the quote that he's got on there is, "My only exposure to Megan Fox as an actress is through her role in 2 Transformer movies and the wretched but happily forgettable Jennifer's Body. It may not be fair to judge her range of acting skills just from these 3 movies, but I think it's safe to say that there are probably hundreds of better choices for the role of April O'Neil. Of course, her name has promotional value, and maybe that's why they want. Who knows?"
I think that she's the only the only huge name on there. There are names like, William Fitcher is attached to this, Will Arnett, Whoopi Goldberg.
Will Arnett's there, so.
If you want a huge name for the target demographic for this, you need a name. So you have a Megan Fox come in, and
because I'm sorry, I can't see here. I'm going to put this up.
But like
this does not equal April O'Neil for me. I'm sorry.
Well, you have to get her in the right costume.
That's not her. Yeah, putting me in a dress and saying I look like April O'Neil. Like,
Jared,
what?
With the right wig, you could be April O'Neil.
I make a fantastic lady for Halloween. It's fine.
In the trailer, she doesn't look terrible.
She doesn't look terrible, but being... Okay, I was never a girly girl. I probably never will be a girly girl. I had every freaking Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtle action figure that was available. Multiple levels of the Turtles. I had 1 Shredder and 1 April O'Neil and 14 Casey Jones. But we won't discuss that portion of it.
Here, she's got this down. Look, she's got it covered.
Yeah.
She doesn't have the tatas for the costume.
That's what push-up bras are for.
Push-up bras need something to push up.
She has boobs. She has plenty of boob.
No, she doesn't.
Yeah, she does.
Okay, I'm seriously going to Google this. Watch this, people.
Kim, are you sure you want to Google that?
Like,
are
we? Yep.
Okay.
Megan Fox boobs.
All right. Okay.
But I'm not turned off of this now that it's actual, you know, teenage mutant ninjas and turtles involved in this.
Uh-huh. She got no boobs. There is fake boobs, flat.
It's fine.
It doesn't.
She has not. Like he said, she has not really had a chance to really show what she is capable of. In the two Transformers movies where the human characters are tertiary to the robots and the screen players, and
the only thing she had going for her was her magical unstainable pants.
Yes. And in Jennifer's body, which magic was meant pants. To be.
Jennifer's body was 2 hours of my life I will never get back.
But that was meant to be parody. So again, not really showing the range of what she can actually do. You know, I'm willing to give her a chance.
I'm willing to give her a chance, too. I'm not sure. I'm not convinced she's the best choice. Well, look at the bright side. She's a name. She's a name. She's people that are, you know, will get excited about.
They could have.
I think she'll be fine.
Wait.
I'm not gloom and doom.
I like
about
how
it.
We're all talking about it. Like, we have a decision in this. We're
yeah,
all like,
I mean,
I think
we don't.
We should give her a chance.
Wrong.
Like, she's already gonna, been cheated. She's already got
there
the
There are people like, that are all like, you know, we're just, you know, because she's attached to this epic.
No.
You know, we're not, because she's attached
they
to it.
They so could have
it.
Done this, and I'm.
They're still going to buy tickets and go see it.
Yes.
I don't care. I don't care what they say.
Look at the bright side. At least they didn't do this to it. That's all I'm saying.
You're not showing anything yet. Oh, there it is.
Yeah, they could have had Kirsten Stewart.
Oh, God. Okay. Yeah, they could be worse. It definitely could be worse.
Yeah. So, yeah, I mean, like I said, it comes out in August. It may be a thing we go see at Dragon Con since we're all going to be together, and it'll be a fun thing to have our first time physically meeting each other, go watch a potentially
horrible
movie.
Let's go watch a bad movie.
Hey, it's not necessarily going to be bad.
I said potentially.
Well, Arnett,
no,
Arnett
that
is going to be there.
Rachel said, let's
it
go watch a bad
movie. It can't be all
bad.
It can't be all bad.
So, all right, so let's go ahead and wrap this baby up.
Please.
I want to thank, again, Keith for coming on and talking, you know, his Duelist Kickstarter with us. Go check out Duelyst over on Kickstarter and help them out a little bit. Something broke.
No, I'm fine.
That
sounds
like that sounds like a beer bottle top dropping to the ground.
Yeah,
I don't know what you're talking about.
again, I want to send out another shout out to our Patreon page, patreon.com/geekio. Send us a little bit of stuff coming out. We're working on supporter only content. Actually, there's a supporter only thing up there right now. Something we're going to be doing this weekend. Check that out.
Check it out.
Hey, Rachel, who do we have coming on next week?
Oh, I should probably, like, look at that, but then I can't. Oh, wait a sec. Let's try this. No, that doesn't work.
We don't.
I'm going to start seducing people. Wait. Look at the seduction face.
Oh, yeah.
Sexy.
I think they spelled constipated wrong.
Probably.
Yeah, they spelled it KRISTEN.
Oh.
Next week, we have a super secret surprise. We don't know.
I don't know who we're going we
to. In other words, our fearless leader has been doing other things.
No, I've been trying to get in contact with this person, and he has not gotten back to me yet. So,
mm-hmm.
No, you know who it is.
Excuses?
Oh,
excuses.
Yes.
Our loving uncle, but I haven't been able to get back a hold of him, so...
He's got stuff going on, so reach out. Do you want me to reach out to him?
Yeah, since he'll probably talk to you. And
reach out and touch him.
And touch him and have some misinterpretation.
Yes.
We're not using the buffer for the next thing, right?
No.
Okay.
We're going to move on to the Winter Moon Spectrum update. This is week number 21. We're like 3 weeks away from the end. And the summer release of SmackDown is actually already starting to compile some information. So, an underperforming Muppets 2 and an overperforming Muppets open this week. And
Muppets, you were supposed to take me back to first.
Yeah, Muppets,
you didn't do
for some
it.
Reason, completely fell on their face. I don't know what
they're just,
happened there.
They're like, they're doing okay. Just okay.
Yeah, and Divergent
like Muppets.
A Haunted House 2, which was Rachel's last film, moved back to late April after we stopped doing this. Rachel's new pick is Draft Day, coming out the same week as Rio 2, which is the last week of our contest.
Which is also the only other movie coming out on that day.
Nobody knew a Haunted House 2 was a thing, and apparently it's not a thing.
And it isn't.
And we were all right.
Yeah, there's nothing wrong with that.
What is a Haunted House 1? I have no idea.
Hey, I'm still holding steady in my position. Actually, I finally bumped Jared Budlong out of position.
Yeah.
So, in the rankings as they stand, Sakani looking like he's going to take this baby at $28.4 million. Jared Azevedo, $26.3 million. Rachel
so
at $28.8 million. Budlong at $16.3 million. Myself, I'm not in last place, $10.4 million. And Dale at $5.8 million.
8.9.
Yeah, 8.9. Poor Dale. Dale is officially got last place in this because he has no more movies. Sorry, Dale. Best luck next time in a couple of weeks when we start the summer one. I think all the rest of the positions are in limbo because Budlong has Rio 2. You know, I have Captain America. Merca. And Rachel has a Draft Day. So, you know.
Is that anything like Training Day or what is this?
No, it's actually about fantasy football drafts.
Oh.
Oh, I think I saw that.
So that's almost kind of meta.
I'm going yeah. for the Jocks and Boneheads going for the movies that week.
So, Azevedo is hanging tough at $26.3 million. He can't go any higher. I'm really hoping that Captain America does Iron Man money. Come on, Captain America, pull that $400 million out.
You can do it.
All right.
All night long.
Lots of stuff over at the Geek.io site. Disney Geek.io is this weekend. We're going to talk about parades, turkey, and much more. How It Stacks released the Technically Snap Food Spilled Gargoyles episode, and we have another one coming out very soon. I was on the Gargoyles episode. Daryl put up a review of Captain America in this comic cave, but don't worry, it's spoiler-free. I checked. Blues Geeks confronts death in Diablo 3's Reaper of Souls review. Dale has released his generic live show. It's up on episode 4 over on the site right now. Real Insight goes back in time with Men in Black 3, and this weekend, doing Geek.io watches with Airheads.
I thought that was next weekend.
Nope. Is it next weekend? Yeah, it's next weekend. No.
Wah, wah, wah.
Well, I'm glad somebody's paying attention.
Thanks.
I was going to have to disappoint you guys okay. this weekend.
It's not like you created the event or anything.
Well, that's okay. Oh, if you think CJ could look or sound better or, you know, get his shit together properly, head on over to geek-io.com/tipjar and donate some brains, much needed geek love in the form of monetary compensation to CJ, because we really need to buy him some organizational skills.
Throw money at it.
Oh,
it fixes everything.
This is going a little far.
It's
if you donate $5 or more to us, we will give you a shout out and read anything you want us to read at the top of the show. This can help give you a plug to your show, cause, event, or you can just be silly, and it helps us keep the lights on here.
Love you, CJ.
I love you, CJ.
I love you. We can be heard on Stitcher Radio. Just search for Geek.io to help us out if you do, as well as on iTunes. Just be sure to leave us an honest review, and we'll gladly read it on the show.
Yeah, we are lacking for reviews. Want more reviews. All right, so we'll be head on out of here. Any other words, thoughts, fun things?
It's turtle time. Heroes on the half shell, turtle power.
Go ninja, Cowabunga, go ninja, dudes. Go ninja, go. Oh wait.
Go ninja, go ninja. Okay. Go. You're gonna do it right.
Yeah.
So, I really
fist pump.
I had everybody, the hands.
It's not raise the roof. It's fist pump.
We will see you next week. Bye bye.
Bye bye.
Bye bye.
Bye-bye. You have been listening to a part of the Geek.io Podcast Network.
Loud noises!
Visit us at geek-io.com for all of our great shows.
The pressure is building slowly, inexorably inside me. Oh, my.
Just because you don't understand it doesn't mean it's bad for you. Go figure out how it works.
Geek.io. Copyright 2014.
I want to get out of here. I want to leave this place right now.
Thank you for listening.